The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
Attention! The Sci-Fi Geeks Club is next! Please stand by.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Hear ye! Another meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club is officially called to order!
Oh, hello there. I see that you've given the proper hand sign, hand signal. You may enter the clubhouse. I'm President Dave Nelson here for another meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club with co-members Brad Ludwig and Gregor Sprague. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
It's the second time for our guest member this week that he's been on the podcast. He is the vice president and editor at the ArnoldFans.com website and the host of Arnold Radio News Podcast. Welcome back to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Ryan, the Gillinator Gillen. Hey, Ryan.
Hey there. I'm very happy to be here.
Welcome back, my friend.
Yes, I'm back.
We're going to talk to you a little bit more after we get into the news. So let's do this.
Headline news of vital, significant events from every corner of the earth. Spoken news brought into your home, your office, even into your car as you speed along the highway.
This is the news. Here are the headlines.
All right, three big sci-fi stories from the week's news. The first one is a couple of pretty cool sci-fi movies in the work. These were separate stories I found. I thought, separately, they're a little bit weak, but together they make an awesome story. So here we go. First one is the next project from J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot production studio. It's a movie called God Particle. According to Variety, the company will produce a film about a team of astronauts on a mission who make a terrifying discovery that challenges all they know about the fabric of reality as they desperately fight for survival. And the wrap adds a few other wrinkles to the narrative, reporting that the film follows an American space station crew who, believing they have destroyed Earth via a Hadron accelerator, allow the crew of hostile nations to board their ship with disastrous results. And the God Particle will hit theaters on February 24th of next year. All right, guys, what do you think of that movie? What do you think of the description? Does it sound appealing to you? Anybody, just jump in.
I like it. I think it sounds cool.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks for being the first.
I mean, it sounds cool, but at the same time, it's like, I don't think they're telling us too much more, which has me more excited, because usually with a J.J. Abrams Bad Robot thing, when you don't hear, the less you hear about it, the better it is. Mm-hmm. I'm referring to 10 Cloverfield Lane and, you know, and movies like that where, you know, it's like even now the reviews don't really say much about the product because of the fact that, you know, to really give any spoilers is going to truly ruin the experience.
Have you seen that movie, Gregor?
No, that's on my list. It's at the top right now, above a certain superhero movie.
Oh my god, I can't believe that's above that certain superhero movie.
The Superman versus the Batman.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it is, because, well, one, it's Dan Trachtenberg directing that movie.
Oh.
And I mean, I'm a big Totally Rad Show fan. It's the sticker on my laptop features the Totally Rad Show. So
for those
of
us that don't know what the Totally Rad Show is, describe it real quick.
The Totally Rad Show was, because it's no longer on the air, it aired on Revision 3 back in the, like, when podcasting first truly started coming up. And it was Dan Trachtenberg, Alex Albrecht, and Jeff Cannata all talking about the movies, TV shows, video games, comic books of the week.
Hmm.
And it was a really cool segment, because a really cool show, because, I mean, you got all these guys like Dan always led the movie stuff because he's a movie director, you know, he's a director and all that stuff. And so, and you, to hear their reviews, and it was, it was a lot of the, they reviewed them in a lot of the ways that I review things, where I don't say it's bad, like, oh, don't go see it. I will, I might suggest don't go see a movie or whatever, but it's never, I never want to say my opinion is final, you obey me. Mm-hmm. And that was how they were. It was, you got more of their feelings about the movie as opposed to point by point breaking down the movie. Sort of deal.
I've heard that podcast mentioned before. I just never have seen it or listened to it or know anything about it. So
it's really great. The intros, look up on YouTube some of the intros that they would do, because they would do all these intros that were based on different things from pop culture. Like from the Top That shot for shot remake of the scene, Top That from what was it? It was like one of the Teenage Witch movies or whatever. And then they did another shot for shot of them doing Afternoon Delight from Anchorman. That one was awesome.
That could be funny.
Yeah, it was. They said that it took them a long time to do because they were laughing so much while trying to shoot that. But yeah, it was really cool. I think it was on for 7 years, I want to say.
Oh, wow. Holy crap. Okay. That's a good long run for a podcast, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the reason why you want to see 10 Cloverfield Lane. Because he directed it. Okay. And he's the one that directed that Portal fan film, right?
Yeah, the Portal movie. Okay. Or the Portal short film. I forget what it's called. But yeah, he directed that while still doing the Totally Rad Show, because they talked about it on there. And so I think I've heard rumors that he's one of the directors that they're wanting to do a Portal movie.
Okay, like, well, that movie makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, because he did a really great job doing, like, you know, with just a short film.
Oh, yeah, that short film was amazing.
Yeah. I believe it's called Portal Still Alive, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay. All right, so that first story came to us from Blaster.com. The second movie I wanted to mention in this within this story cluster is from The Wrap, who we already mentioned, the website The Wrap. They report that Oscar Isaac, who is, if I was gay, I would be interested in Oscar Isaac, because he's got it all, my friends. He's reuniting with writer-director Alex Garland for his next movie called Annihilation. The two, of course, previously worked together on the critically acclaimed Ex Machina. Have you guys all seen Ex Machina?
I love that movie.
I have not.
Yes.
Oh, very Ryan, good. You have seen it? What'd you think of it?
I loved it. I watched it twice in pretty short succession because I was, you know, so interested in it. I like how it's kind of a, you know, lower budget feel, you know, just pure sci-fi kind of thing, you know, where there's the, you know, the artificial intelligence. They have to determine if it, you know, if it's good enough to keep going forward with it and that kind of thing. I love the interactions they have. It's just kind of it could almost be a play.
Oh no, yeah,
it's all
definitely
self-contained in this, you know, small,
yeah,
small area. So it's just very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, with the exception of the intro, yeah, you know, establishing things, and then I think there's a little bit towards the end. It would be like, it's mainly three people.
Yep.
It's Oscar Isaac's character, Domhnall Gleeson, and
who are both in Star Wars: The Force Awakens, by the way. As opposite, like, Oscar Isaac was the bad guy in Ex Machina, but he's the good guy in Star Wars, and then, what's the guy that you just mentioned? What's
Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah, he was the good guy, and then he's the bad guy in Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Yeah, and I cannot think of her name. The actress who was the robot. She was also in Carol. She was just in Carol.
Okay.
She wasn't in Carol. She was in the Danish Girl. Sorry, she's in the other Oscar nominated. She was co-starred with Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah. Who's doing everything these days, by the way. All right, so Isaac will play the husband of Natalie Portman's character, one of four women who are sent on an expedition into a mysterious coastal zone where our laws of nature either don't apply or don't exist. I have no idea what that means. It's a very vague description. In the novel by Jeff Vandermeer that the movie's based on, Portman's character, a biologist, narrates the story and recounts how her husband went on a previous mission into Area X and disappeared, only to suddenly surface in their kitchen months later with no memory of his expedition and how he got home. He later dies of cancer along with the other members of his team. In addition to Portman and Isaac, the cast includes Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson, and Jennifer Jason Leigh as the other three members of Portman's expedition who undergo their own horrific experiences in Area X.
This cast is just an amazing cast. I'm going to go out and say that right now. Like, the only one I haven't really heard of is Tessa Thompson.
I haven't heard of her either.
And it could be one of those things like I do a Google search and be like, oh, she was this person in that thing sort of deal. But like every other one, like Gina Rodriguez, very funny actress.
What's she been in?
She's the star of the CW show Jane the Virgin.
Oh, okay.
And then she's done some soap opera stuff, and I can't think of anything she's done in the world of, you know, sci-fi nerd culture. Oops, did not want to do that. But yeah, she's very funny in there. Sorry, I'm looking up the Tessa Thompson right now.
I can always tell when Gregor is trying to look something up or is distracted in any way. He's automatically sidetracked.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's interesting experience.
gosh, there's nothing I could think of, but Tessa Thompson, she was in Creed and Selma.
Okay.
Would be the two or bigger named shows or movies, I should say.
Well, this sounds like a more ambitious project than Ex Machina for Alex Garland. I'm interested in this.
I wouldn't be surprised though, if Ex Machina was the sort of the jumping off point, like basically him saying, because if I remember correctly, Ex Machina didn't have that big of a budget,
mm-hmm.
and yet was Oscar nominated,
mm-hmm.
And I think won for a couple of the other. It didn't win the big one, but for the couple of other categories. And so this is sort of like the studio's going, oh well, we could give him, you know, this script and give him this much more money and it'd be better.
That's how it works in Hollywood, right? It one thing leads to another, leads to another, right?
You prove yourself with something, you know, just like James Cameron with the first Terminator, you know, and then
I was waiting for
a bigger project to see what you can do with.
I was waiting for Ryan's first reference to anything Arnold Schwarzenegger and related to any of his films. So
exactly.
You are not disappointed.
No, not. Good job, Ryan. Good job. All right, let's move on. Let's get to know Ryan a little bit more. And I'm always scared if you're not watching the video. Ryan is situated in a very unique place, and it almost looks like you're in some kind of like you've taken up somebody prisoner.
You have to podcast or die sort of situation.
You're either in your bunker because the end of the world has happened, or you're some weird serial killer with a victim in a pit behind you there.
Well, he's an Arnold
right,
fan. He's in his bunker for the end of the world.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in that.
I'm locked and loaded.
So
positive advanced weaponry, phased plasma rifles back here.
So what's new with the ArnoldFans.com these days?
Well, you know, we're doing our thing, keeping busy, following the big guy around and seeing what he's up to. Arnold, you know, stays extremely busy himself, you know, even though he's getting up there in age. He's, you know, I just got back a couple weeks ago from seeing Arnold personally at the Arnold Sports Festival.
Yeah,
Ohio.
Where you met up with our Galactic Netcast friend Matt Stein for a moment, right? For a brief moment, you guys.
Yes, we did meet up and say hi to each other, and yeah, that was fun.
That's cool.
Get to share in the Arnoldness together, you know. But it's always a blast, you know. Of course, we're surrounded by, you know, just bulky bodybuilder types everywhere, which is always interesting. But you get, you know, Arnold walks through the crowd a bunch during the weekend, and he goes to different events, and then I always try to catch him at the last event he does, which is like a Q&A session, seminar type setup where he talks for a while. And this year they have an interviewer, like, you know, asking questions on a little stage set up. And sometimes they'll take questions from the audience, so I'm always ready with that. He didn't take them this year, but, you know, that didn't stop me. Because I was, you know, I'm like the Terminator myself. I've got a mission that I've got to talk to Arnold. So, I because I've been going to this for some years, Arnold's schedule, you know, pretty much he does the same sequence of events, you know, over the weekend. So I know that after this seminar, he goes, you know, across in this sky bridge kind of thing across the street to back to the convention center for a luncheon. So I kind of ran out of the room before anyone else did when he was going to leave, and just positioned myself in a strategic location where he would come up the elevators and come right out, and, you know, and there I am. So so I kind of you know, intercepted him there.
So it was cool. What did you ask him when you got a chance to talk to him?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was good.
I got to ask.
That was awesome.
The old Christopher Farley show type. I got to ask him about the new Predator movie that's in the works.
Oh yeah.
That Shane Black has written the script, and he plans to direct it. He's talked a little bit about it, but there's been no mention of Arnold's involvement or not. So I wanted to ask Arnold, you know, what do you think? Have you been approached or anything like that? So, and he gave me, you know, good nuts. He said that there's nothing, you know, nothing committed right now, but that he is planning to have lunch with Shane Black to talk about it.
Nice. So,
and they know each other because Shane was in the original Predator, right?
He was, yes. He was Hawkins. Yeah, the guy who tells all the lewd jokes. So yes, they have history.
What an interesting.
He's,
I was going to say what an interesting kind of circle of life for him, right? Because he was in the original, and as an actor, now he's like a director, and he has a chance to actually make one of the movies, one of the sequels.
Right. Yeah. It is cool, and he's been a writer, I think, even longer than he's been an actor. And he directed Iron Man 3.
Yep.
Was the big one that he did recently. So he's definitely got you know, things lining up for it. Could be really cool, you know. We don't really know anything about the script or what the story is exactly, but certainly I would like to see Arnold in some capacity.
Well, Arnold seems to be busier than ever because there's stories coming out in all the time. It seems like his involvement in this or his involvement with that. There's also talk of a second Terminator Judgment or Terminator Genesis sequel, right? That's what I heard something about that.
Right. Yes. When they made the Terminator Genesis last year, They already kind of had a plan for two more movies, a new trilogy, and when it didn't do quite as well as they wanted, at least domestically, that was kind of, you know, put on hold. They don't have the dates reserved anymore like they had, But they did say they're going to, you know, kind of rework it, you know, that, you know, come up with a new idea maybe, and then come back. And Arnold has just recently confirmed that it is, you know, still looks like it'll happen. Like he's planning on doing it.
Okay.
Nice. So
could be interesting.
All right. Well, thank you again, Ryan, for coming back on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Let's get back into the news here. And none of us, I can guarantee you right now, none of us will have much to say about this next story. But it was such a story, like I kept on seeing it pop up all week that we couldn't not mention it. So it's Star Trek makeup. MAC Cosmetics is boldly going into the Star Trek universe with a cosmetics line celebrating the franchise's 50th anniversary. Now, I didn't even know who MAC Cosmetics was until this story. But apparently, my wife and my stepdaughter knows MAC pretty well. I didn't know who they were. The 25-piece collection of lip, eye, and face products is inspired by female Trek characters, Seven of Nine, Deanna Troi, Uhura, and Vina, the Orion girl from the original series. Star Trek is an iconic pop culture phenomenon whose storylines pushed gender and racial boundaries, MAC creative director James Gager said in a statement. For its 50th anniversary, we celebrate each of Star Trek's powerful women in a transcending, transformational makeup collection. The Star Trek-themed line will be available online August 25th and in stores September 1st, but fans at San Diego Comic-Con can get their hands on the products early. Before its August launch, there will be an exclusive one-day pre-sale on July 21st at the MAC Cosmetics store in San Diego's Gas Lamp District. Now, does anybody have anything to say about this story?
It's... Part of me is torn by this.
Okay.
Because, and not in like a, I will buy this, but part of it seems like it's a trend that, you know, like if the ladies are going to get the makeup fine, cool, whatever, you know, all the lady nerds are going to be like, oh, I'm going to get this one because it's like the same makeup that Uhura would wear or whatever, you know, I don't know. But it seems like it's a trend that I think was started with Pitch Perfect too. Like okay. Maybelline had a line, because I remember seeing all the commercials. It's like, oh, here's all the Pitch Perfect too. I'm like, really? Well, at least it makes sense because, you know, it's a like female-led movie and all this stuff. And then it's Star Wars. And I'm like, okay, that one got another really from me because that one didn't quite make sense.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, it took me aback a little bit.
Yeah. And then with this one, and it's, I think both those were through Maybelline. This one's through MAC, which I think MAC is not, it's not in like all the stores like Maybelline is, but I think it's still, you know, good products. It's not like some up and coming person like, hey, we got the exclusive for the Star Trek cosmetic line here or anything like that. But I do think, you know, I think this is cool for, you know, the female Star Trek fans or the male Star Trek fans who like to wear makeup, whatever, you know, no judgment. And I mean, this is going to make MAC a bunch of money, especially with it being at Comic-Con and it being, they're doing a one-day pre-sale because, you know, a lot of people are going to buy it, you know, because that's how that area of San Diego keeps afloat, is because of Comic-Con. That's about all I got to say about that.
Okay. Well, there's a lot more feedback than I thought that I was anticipating. I didn't think that you guys would have anything to say about this. That's cool.
This is what I get for working in retail.
You have an interesting perspective on things, Gregor.
Yes. Except for I'm pretty sure we won't, at Dollar General, we won't be seeing a MAC cosmetic stand for Star Trek.
Yeah, probably not. You might have to go to a bigger mall for that one.
Yeah.
My wife is really excited about this. She's not a big makeup person. Like, she doesn't use very much, but she's a huge Star Trek fan, so I think that got her. That was like, wow, they're doing this. I need to get some of this joint. So coming from my perspective, from her angle, it seems to be something that at least women Star Trek fans are pretty excited about. She's actually in a group on Facebook called Women Who Trek. It's an offshoot of another group called Ladies Who Lunch.
Nice.
It's like a what do you call it group? A networking type of group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Brad, any thoughts on this before we move on?
I've got nothing.
Okay. I know your girlfriend Anessa said something on Facebook about it. She seemed to be pretty excited.
Yeah, I think she's interested in checking into it and see if that'll work for her skin, and she might give it a whirl.
Is she more of a Deanna Troi or a Seven of Nine girl? Does she want to assimilate? Or
why would I tell any of you?
What they do in the bedroom is their business. Dang it!
That's what Gregor said.
All right. Ryan, any thoughts on this before we move on to the next story?
No, just I never wanted to be a woman.
Ah, okay.
There it is.
All right. That's a more traditional Arnold Schwarzenegger impression instead of mine, which is just Conan O'Brien doing Arnold Schwarzenegger, where you just go, zah, 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 and you eat a sausage.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to something a little
Ryan's
bit
is far more nuanced.
Let's move on to our next story. Before we do, though, we'd like to invite you to join us on Twitter. Actually, follow us on Twitter. We have we hit a milestone this week. We got above 600 followers. I know that sounds like a low number for some people, but for us, that's pretty good. We're now at 702 followers on Twitter. And you can make that 703. Just find Galactic. We're at Galactic Netcast, or just search for Galactic Netcast on Twitter. You can join our Facebook group or subscribe to our YouTube channel and watch us do record the podcasts live or watch them later. Just search for Galactic Netcasts, or just click on the corresponding social media logos on the top right of our main website, webpage at gncasts.com. All right, one of the many reasons we brought Gregor on this episode was to explain to us what the hell DC Comics Rebirth is and what it means and why we should care.
So DC, the Rebirth thing happened this past Saturday at WonderCon, which was the 26th, I think. And they announced this event, you know, Rebirth, and they gave the full solicitations for the next up until September when this will actually happen. And there's some interesting things. The big reason is because Action Comics and Detective Comics would both be hitting 1,000 issues. So they're sort of doing away with the, from what it sounds like from reading the article from Newsarama, that they're going away from the DCU New 52 universe and then going to the pre-Flashpoint universe, at least with Superman.
Yeah, it's not going to be across the board because there's some interesting... Because isn't there already two different Superman titles right now?
Yes, there's... And see, this is the interesting thing for me as a reader, and I would probably... I think I come at the other end with Corey, but I think I might do the same thing with Brad, where there's the Superman Action Comics, Batman and Superman books that... Actually, hold on. I have one as a plug because I got Doritos the other day. There's like this one, which is, you know, the traditional line, and this is the New 52 version, and then you have Superman and Lois Lane, which is the other book, which is a pre-Flashpoint Superman. In that story, I think he was brought into the New 52 universe and all that. So I'm not really sure how it's going to work for you know, with that story, but I'm pretty sure they have an idea. For all these comics, they said they've had at least anywhere from 6 months to a year of the of each title planned out, which I don't think a lot of comics really do that ever, unless it's going to be like, especially for their whole line. And it's that Superman, the Superman from the Lois and Clark Superman book, that is going to be the titular Superman going forward, which is cool, you know, whatever, I respect that. But I like the other one because it brings up the question of some of these other powers that Superman has displayed. Is this one going to be able to display them too, or whatnot?
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that's interesting is they're doing a lot of books twice monthly, where they were doing, like, I think, like over at Marvel, they do it with like Spider-Man. I think Captain America is twice monthly. They do it with some of the select few books. With this one, with this line, it seems like a lot of the big name characters. So, for instance, characters that might be in film or television will be getting twice monthly books. But the cool part is they're doing interesting things with it. Like, they're bringing in Greg Rucka back, who I love him as a writer, to do Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. He did Wonder Woman in the past. He's coming back and doing her. And with that story, he's telling two separate stories. He's telling one in, like, the current timeline with one artist, and then he's telling another they're calling it Wonder Woman Year One with another artist. And there's other, like, so if you look through an article, which I'm pretty sure will be in the show notes, from Newsarama, they give you, towards the bottom, they give you all the comics that are coming out starting in, what is it, May?
Yeah,
starting in June.
The Rebirth is going to start with the Rebirth book, right? It's going to be like 90-some pages or something
yes
like that?
Yes and no, because the one book, the two books I don't see mentioned here are Justice League 51 and 52, where they're going to be set up books for Dan Jurgens' run in Titans and in is it Justice League? Or no, not Justice League. There's another book that he's doing that it would be a lead into that. The other cool thing that, like, I know for Corey, who is he's a Nightwing fan. Nightwing's coming back. It's Dick Grayson in the blue and black, and all that. They've got a great selection of writers and artists on here. Scott Snyder, who had been doing Batman through the whole New 52 lineup, is going to be doing a book called All-Star Batman. Mm-hmm. Which is going to have artists like Jock, and I think Greg Capullo is going to be on there. John Romita Jr. Is going to be on there. I think they said there's like a list of like seven different artists doing stories. And I saw that and I'm like, that is cool.
That sounds more like a how they used to do that team-up book. What was it called? It wasn't World's Finest, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
World's Finest. Okay. It kind of sounds like they're taking that approach in a way.
And it is. And plus, I think this is also going to give Scott Snyder a break because of the fact that, you know, with doing the Batman book, you're doing the flagship book. And it was like event after event. I mean, he went from Court of Owls to Death in the Family to, I can't think of the next one, to Zero Year to Endgame and then to Commissioner Gordon as Batman, like boom, 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 not really ever having an issue or two in between to where you could sort of stop and catch your breath. And also in there, he's done working with a whole bunch of other writers, Batman Eternal and then Batman and Robin Eternal, which were weekly comic books.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's big on his part. But yeah, I mean, looking at this list, from there are some titles that I think are going to be really cool. The Blue Beetle book, it looks really interesting. Batgirl and the Birds of Prey. Harley Quinn. I'm going to point out three real quick. Harley Quinn, I think Earth 2 and Gotham Academy are all going to remain in the universe they're in now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to continue on with the story, which is great because Harley Quinn, one of my favorite books that they've done, it's Amanda Conner, Jimmy Palmiotti doing that. It's going to be twice monthly. And then they're going to have Chad Harden and John Timms doing the art. And also, I should point out, Amanda Conner signed an exclusivity deal with DC, which basically means she's not going to work for Marvel. And then the Gotham Academy book is going to take place in that same universe, which is a really fun all-ages book. I mean, it's set in the Batman universe. It's set in Gotham City. But you don't have to be reading Batman or Grayson or any of these other books to get, to follow it along or to follow along with it. And it's just really great stories that they're telling. They got some really great creators, Scott Lobdell, Greg Rucka, like I mentioned. Dan Jurgens is doing 3 or 4 books, I think. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'd be curious to see what Brad thinks about this.
I wanted to mention something real quick before Brad said anything. It sounds like DC is making their comics basically all options are on the table, and they're kind of opening it up and letting their creators do their thing and bringing back characters that have been away for a while. Because didn't I hear you and Corey mention on the Elseners this week that there's going to be some characters that haven't been in the DC universe since like Crisis era DC?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Blue Beetle book, for example, is going to feature, it's going to follow Jaime Reyes, but he's going to be with Ted Kord.
Okay.
Sort of deal. And, but yeah, they're going to be doing, with what I feel like this is going to do is instead of, oh, we're all in this one universe, and then occasionally you'll get special books like Batman Europa that came out during the New 52, it's gonna be more Elseworld story friendly,
mm-hmm.
sort of deal. Like, it doesn't have to be a big book like Batman Europa or Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, or you know anything like that. It can just be, well, we're gonna tell this whole thing, and it's gonna turn into, you know, Batman Hush or, you know, whatever story it's going to end up being.
So it sounds like there's less constraints and not everything has to be in the same universe. They're kind of opening up the universe a little bit more.
That's my hope, to be honest.
Okay.
And that's honestly, I think that's been Corey's biggest complaint with why he hasn't read DC Comics in, I think now 2, maybe 3 years. Like he went from reading quite a bit of them when he was working at the comic book store to, I think he was only reading Harley Quinn, to where now I don't even think he's reading the Harley Quinn book because of how editorial treats some of their writers and artists, like storyline-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just like, oh, you have to be pigeonholed in here when the writer wants to tell, you know, this story sort of thing.
Now, Brad, you stopped reading DC, right?
I stopped reading pretty much all... I don't collect comics anymore. You know, the newest thing that I bought, and it was mostly because I know that DC peed on the writer and the artist for Batwoman, which was a very, very interesting story, and then editorial jumped in there and just peed all over it. So I got pretty much all I wanted out of that, up to the point where they kind of screwed it up. You know, what they're doing here is they're just trying to fix everything that they screwed up with the new 52. And for me, the list is long, and the new 52 is what made me stop collecting comics altogether, quite frankly.
So my question to you, Brad, does this sound interesting enough for you to start, maybe not collecting, but start reading the comics?
They're going to have to do a lot. For as long as I collected comics and for as bad as I felt like they throat punched me and other people, that look, I'm not going to say that a company can't do what it wants. I'm not going to say that they can't evolve things, but they completely, and what they're doing now is putting the legacy a little bit more back into the new 52,
mm-hmm.
which was my hugest complaint and the reason why I stopped. So I'm guessing I'm not the lone voice in the wilderness on that. They're backing off on the costumes, all the costume changes. Well, the majority of the costume changes that they made for the new 52, they're backing off on a few different things. So I think that they got the message, but not so much that they got the message. It's that sales went down.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, they're a business. They're owned by Warner, and Warner looks at the bottom line. And if you're not pulling in the share and not pulling in the cash, then you're told to make a change.
That's the one thing I keep forgetting as a person who, I'll just say it this way, finds alternative means of reading my comic books. That when I find a story or, you know, like a book that I'm really enjoying, and I go, yeah, I'm really enjoying this. And Corey goes, like Starfire, for instance. And Corey goes, yeah, they canceled it. I'm like, uh-huh. And he has to remind me, but do you actually buy the comics? I'm like, no, you're right, Dad.
You're the problem, Gregor.
Well, no, I'm not the problem. I'm not necessarily the problem. It's just I'm not helping at all.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I do appreciate some of the things that I feel bad for Ryan right now. We'll
no,
wrap this up here. You know, I do enjoy the fact that they're bringing the legacy back. I do enjoy the fact that they have 52 worlds to play in, and now they're starting to bring in and tell stories of some of the other characters, which they had the opportunity to do, and they started to do a little bit with what was the comic book, Multiverse?
Multiversity.
Yeah, Multiversity.
Thank you. So they had an opportunity to play around in the other worlds, but they did the Earth 2 book, and that was it, which was very disappointing.
Well, and then even after Multiversity and Convergence, they had Justice League 3000 and then Justice League 3001, which I think were an alternate Earth book as well.
But, you know, they were doing Elseworlds stuff before, and everything was fine. So the fact that they did Convergence and now they're doing this, they're fixing everything that they broke when they did the new 52, mm-hmm. or at least starting to. So, I mean, I appreciate that, but for as much money as I physically gave DC Comics to have them pee on everything that I enjoyed in the universe and have it taken away, and I'm not being an old man about this, and not I embrace change. Change is good. Change is fine. But when you take the heart out of the thing, mm-hmm. the thing is no longer and something that you appreciate. And
I think
that's what they did.
I think
they're
working on
bringing it back.
Yeah, they're bringing it back. Yeah,
and
they're trying.
The other
to.
Thing, real quick, that I'll mention too is they announced a price point that all comics, and I'm going to put air quotes around all, because there's probably going to be the exceptions with annuals or, you know, special deluxe edition books. It's all, every issue is going to be $2.99.
And it's about damn time.
Which is great, because that's one of the things that I find frustrating with Marvel, and well, DC as well, but mainly with Marvel, is you'll get a story, you'll be reading a book, and then they're like, oh, well, we're coming up close to, like, stay tuned for my ing. We're getting close to a landmark thing, so let's jack the price up to $5 and then throw in 5 extra stories or something like that.
And that's what they did in the 90s, too, which, you know, they put a foil cover on something and, you know, jack you up for an additional dollar for hollow foil, whatever. It's crap.
All right.
So there you go.
All right, Ryan, and before we move on, do you have anything to add to this story at all?
Sorry, Ryan.
No, I leave it to the experts there.
Okay. All right.
I'm learning lots of new terms.
We're the experts.
Yeah. Gregor, you didn't know that? You're an expert. Come on. All right.
You are, yes.
My expert hat, then, I guess.
There you go. That's a serious hat.
Wait a second. I got to see.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. Yeah, that makes you... That, see, before you were an expert, but now you look like one, Gregor.
Yeah, except for now my headphones are falling down my head, so I can't hear
you. Hey,
you
pay the price for looking good.
You can't wear the serious hat then.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Hey, before we move on to the big question, got to remind you guys, if you haven't yet, please contribute something to our Patreon account. Patreon campaign. That's a better word for it. Patreon, patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. You guys are doing great. We were able to afford getting some audio hosting, which is one step closer to getting Gregor and Corey and the Elsnerd show over to the Galactic Netcast Network, which you guys have been talking about for, I don't know, a year and a half now.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
So, Dave, a quick question here.
Yes.
For people who don't know, what are some of the things that they could get if they contributed to your Patreon?
Wow. Thanks for asking, Gregor. You can pledge as little as $1 a month, and that will get you exclusive access to Patreon-only Slack channel, which you can use to chat with us during the recording of our podcasts or any time we happen to be on the Slack channel. So,
you want to bug me when I'm at work? Pledge $1.
Yes! That's worth the price just by itself right there.
And I work in the internet business, so I'm on all the time.
Yeah. So you want to...
I'm not. I'm sitting there going, like, punching buttons because I have a smartwatch and just, Dave, shut up!
Okay, so if you want to talk to Brad at lunch while he's on his lunch break, give that $1 a month or up your donation amount every month to $3. That will get you access to the Patreon Slack channel and an exclusive newsletter with extra stories of what we talk about on our podcasts. That's $3 a month. For $5
like
a month.
Another thing I got to get off my butt and do.
Oh yeah.
The splash page.
It's a hard thing to remember. I forget until like the last week of the month. I'm like, oh crap, we gotta get that done. Okay, so $5 a month will get you an extra episode of each of our podcasts, and that's all exclusively to you guys as patrons. So again, if you want to be part of the cool club, the cool kids in the class, go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts, and your money each month helps us afford certain things that keeps us rolling, keeps us doing the thing that we're doing. All right, let's do this.
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
All right, big question time. Are you guys ready? Brad?
Yes.
Gregor?
Yes.
Ryan?
Kill me, I'm here.
All right. Here's the big question. And this is one of those what-if scenarios, because we know that Arnold's doing great. Okay, he's doing movies. He's doing action movies. He's playing the characters that we love from Arnold Schwarzenegger. But someday he'll have to retire, okay? And we know that day is coming. So the question is, what actor do you think is the rightful heir to the Arnold Schwarzenegger throne when it comes to science fiction action movies? What actor do you think is the rightful heir to the Arnold Schwarzenegger throne when it comes to sci-fi action movies?
I want to defer before I give my answer to the expert. You, Ryan, get the expert hat in this situation. Arnold Schwarzenegger, did he have any bombs early on in his career? Because this will affect my answer. Like sci-fi bombs.
Sci-fi? I don't think any sci-fi. Because his first sci-fi was really Terminator.
Yep.
He had Hercules in New York and The Villain early on. Those were very bad movies, but not in the sci-fi genre.
Didn't they overdub his voice in his very first appearance in like a non-bodybuilding role? Like he played a character.
Yeah, that was in Hercules in New York.
Okay, all right.
So I'll include that because essentially what Hercules in New York was
first.
Hercules in New York was what, him as Hercules, and then
right.
Metaphor. Okay, yeah. So I'll include that because it'll fit with mine.
Okay.
Okay.
Because mine, I'm going to say, and it's mainly because I'm a fan and I could smell what he's cooking, but it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, I do think the big test of what, if it really will be the case, is going to be his next sci-fi movie with Shazam.
Oh, that's right. He's going to be playing Black Adam, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because I asked about the whole flub thing because you look at Scorpion King, it was a pretty big success. And then you go to some of these other that aren't really like sci-fi movies, but then he does Doom. And besides the one action scene in there, like the one sequence where you're in Carl Urban's view the whole time, everything else was like, no, that shouldn't have happened, sort of thing. So mine's The Rock.
Okay. One could say that he's almost to that stature already, right? Because he's not necessarily sci-fi, but as far as action movies go, he's pretty much not quite to the Arnold Schwarzenegger epitome of being an action star, right? But he's done enough big movies, like he's done the Fast and the Furious movies. What are some other movies that he's done that have been huge?
Well, I think San Andreas was huge.
Yep.
He's going to be doing Baywatch.
Yep. Yep.
What was it? There's a few other ones that I can't think of right now, but they were like very early on that he had some success with movies like Walking Tall.
Yep, I remember that one. That was pretty good.
He's done at least one comedy or two.
Oh yeah, he's in the movie coming out this summer, Central Intelligence.
Yeah,
that's the thing I like about The Rock is he can easily do the he can go from comedy to, you know, an action movie and nothing's really changed. And I sort of credit the WWE on that one because I mean, when you call yourself the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment, and back it up, that yeah, I mean it's. He should be able to do some of that stuff.
Okay. So Gregor voting for Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Let's move on to Brad. What you got an answer, Brad, for this question?
Not offhand, no.
Oh, really? Okay.
Let me think for just a little bit, but carry on.
Okay. Well, let's go to the expert in all things Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ryan. Ryan, do you have an answer to this?
Yeah, this is a tough one because, you know, it really is hard to, you know, become another Arnold, you know. There's really no one else quite like him. And, you know, The Rock does, you know, kind of come close to that kind of, you know, action muscular figure, and he's got charisma and everything like that. So, but I like The Rock, but I'm not a huge fan. I'm like, I wouldn't rush out to see The Rock's next movie or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would Arnold, of course. But the one of the guys I would like it to be would maybe be Sam Worthington.
Oh, yeah. He's a great one. Great actor.
I think he's a great actor. He's got, you know, he had that kind of, you know, he was big a few years ago when you know, he had Avatar, and then he was in Terminator Salvation that same year, when, you know, and that wasn't my favorite Terminator movie, but he was, you know, still really good in it, I thought. So, you know, he's one I kind of like, you know, I would like him to kind of increase in popularity, see what kind of range he has. The guy I thought of that, you know, is kind of, you know, in, who has some of that is like Matt Damon, actually. He's, you know, obviously had his own success with, you know, the Bourne series and then, you know, recently the Martian, of course, was great. And the other, he was in Interstellar too.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Another movie that he was being rescued
all over the place. Right, right. But I don't know. So he has that kind of natural charisma, and you know, just he rarely picks bad roles or bad movies. So, you know, I guess he's got that going for him too. So,
well, I think that's a good call. I'm going to answer with somebody that has done sci-fi already. He was in one of the biggest movies of last year. He's done comic book movies. He's done other types of sci-fi. He's a big guy. And his name is Tom Hardy. I think he's positioned. Did I just take yours, Brad?
Yes, but I have a backup.
Okay. Well, I think Tom Hardy is positioned to be a huge actor, of course, because he's coming off some really big movies like The Revenant. He was in The Revenant, right? He played Bane in The Dark Knight Rises. So I think he has the chops, he has the looks, he has the whatever he has. He's got it all. He can be the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. And that's all I got to say. I think it's Tom Hardy. I think he's the obvious heir to the Schwarzenegger, whatever you want to say, call it.
You know, the hardest part of this is whenever you have a person who has had an interesting career and an interesting life and is an interesting person, you can't necessarily find a person that can take that person's place.
Okay.
Because Arnold has a great sense of humor. He's done, you know, Kindergarten Cop. He's done Jingle All the Way. He's done funny movies. He's done dramatic movies. He's done sci-fi movies. He's done horror with what was it? Not End of Days. Was it End of Days? What was the one where they go up against? It was
Gabriel Byrne.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. So I mean, he definitely has range. So does a replacement for Arnold Schwarzenegger have range? Does a replacement for Arnold Schwarzenegger just need to be size and the ability to act? It really should encompass everything. Now, I'm going to throw out a name, and I'm going to maybe defend it for a moment or two, because maybe you guys will think, what? Actually, Chris Evans.
Okay.
Now, the reason why I say that is, one, we know that he can actually do to bulk up, to actually get that size, because he's done that repeatedly for Captain America. Okay. So, I mean, we've got that portion out of the way. But I think that the big thing about Arnold is it seems like he doesn't take himself too seriously, and he has done a wide variety of types of characters. And I think we've seen that with Chris Evans doing Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So, I mean, he's done comedy and a very wonderful, well-acted character. Snowpiercer.
Oh, I was going to mention that. That's a great movie. Yeah.
Which is a wonderful sci-fi thriller. I guess that would be where I would drop that. Of course, he's done not only Captain America, but he was the first Johnny Storm in films. So he's got a lot of the sci-fi cred. He's done drama. He's done comedy. So I think that he has that range, but also he does have the ability to, if we're looking for the size aspect and to play a very physically imposing character, I think that he has accomplished that with his work as Captain America. So my answer, because you took Tom Hardy, is going to be Chris Evans.
Well, that was a great replacement, Brad. I have no problem with Chris Evans at all.
I don't know how Ryan feels about that, but that was the only thing that I could really kind of come up with.
It's hard to find one person.
Yeah, I can see that. Those are all good choices, I think.
I think together they make one Arnold Schwarzenegger, all these people.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, Arnold Schwarzenegger is really irreplaceable.
Yes.
Agreed.
I know that you would reflect that sentiment, Ryan, but I mean, in all honesty, we're never going to see a person or an actor like him probably ever again.
Yeah.
And the best we can do is hope we can get some people that can kind of emulate a little bit of what he's done and accomplished in his life. So,
all right. Yeah. That's your big question. Let's, before we move on to our ings this week, if you want to find out more about this podcast, you can go to gncasts.com/geeks. That's gncasts.com/geeks. And for the other shows on the Galactic Netcast Network, including the future Else Nerd show, go to gncasts.com. That's gncasts.com. On the website, you can find show notes, contact information, subscription links, and more, plus the live page. You can watch us record the shows live at gncasts.com/live/. So there you go. Check out the website. Let's move on with the ing.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
I.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
N.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
G.
All right. ING stands for ing, as in watching, reading, listening, playing, etc. And it's just basically stuff that's sci-fi related that we have taken into our senses over the last week. And it looks like Brad is number one on the list.
Yes, I am playing Fallout 4, and I kind of want my life back.
Yeah, that's, I was going to say, and you've done nothing else. You've ignored Anessa. You've just been playing Fallout 4.
I just wrapped up finally playing Bioshock Infinite, and now I've kind of slid into Fallout 4, and God help me. I've had the opportunity to play like Fallout, Fallout Tactics, Fallout 3, and now I missed New Vegas, and now I'm going into Fallout 4. The very interesting thing about Fallout 4, besides the story, the setup of how this is all working, how the world that's been, we get another insight as to what the world was like before the bombs were dropped. And now we're in this post-apocalyptic world of Fallout. But the interesting thing about this particular iteration of Fallout is there is a bit of civilization building. So we have this in all the other versions of the game, you wandered the wasteland and you ran into people and did things and, you know, progressed the storyline and made choices and made your character into whatever you wanted it to be. It is essentially a computer RPG. The interesting thing about this is they kept a lot of that. But the other thing, too, is if you really think about it, in a post-apocalyptic world, you would need to be a part of building a new community, a new, you know, you need to rebuild civilization. So in this particular iteration of Fallout, you actually are going through the wilderness and you run into groups of people where you can actually bring them back to your old suburb of where you used to live at the beginning of the game and start to put together a community. But in doing so, you need to crafting is a big part of this. So you have the ability to make furniture and, you know, deal with food and craft armor and weapons and things like that. But some of the other things that you do is actually develop crops for these people. You're bringing them into this and starting a new community. You need to be able to feed them. You need to be able to give them electricity. You need to be able to give them fresh, clean water. So there is some of that building that takes place as well. It's very fascinating, and it's a very different way to enjoy the Fallout world. And I think it was an interesting and welcome change. So that is my ing, Fallout 4.
All right. And you get a pet dog, too.
Yes, Dog Meat Returns.
I don't know hardly anything about that game. All I know is I keep on, you know, whenever I see anything about that game, I see the picture. I don't know if it's a cover picture of the dude and his dog.
Yes, Dog Meat was a dog that had been, I want to say, in the first two or three Fallouts, if I recall correctly. It's been so long since I played. But having the attack dog as a companion, the German Shepherd dog meat, hadn't been around for a while, so they kind of returned to their roots a little bit and brought back dog meat, the German Shepherd.
All right, my ing is watching. I watched a movie that just happened to show up on our cable system, and I set our DVR to record it. I had never heard of it, never seen it. It is the 2005. Hang on, let me check the.
Yeah.
Okay, 2005 movie Zathura: A Space Adventure. It's basically Jumanji but in space. That's the best way to describe it. It stars Josh Hutcherson, a very early Josh Hutcherson, Dax Shepard, Kristen Stewart, who's terrible in the movie. She's terrible in everything, but she was especially terrible in this. This is pre sparkly vampire movies.
Vampire, yeah.
Yeah. Tim Robbins was in it. So the basic premise is Tim Robbins is the father of these two kids, or three kids, actually. And he is divorced, so he's got joint custody of his kids with their mother. And the kids are at his house, and he's trying to juggle taking care of them with work stuff. He has to go into work for a meeting, and the kids get left basically home alone with Kristen Stewart, the reluctant sister, who doesn't really want to take care of him. The youngest gets put down in the basement, or he gets put into a dumbwaiter. It's those, I don't know if you guys are familiar with dumbwaiters.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
I prefer my waiter smart, but yeah.
So in old houses back in the day, they had these like basically elevators that you would put your food in, or things that were made in the kitchen and then brought back to, or brought down to the dining room, or brought to other places in the house. And he was put into the dumbwaiter. He gets stuck in the basement. He finds a game called Zathura, A Space Adventure, and he brings it up. They start playing it, and crazy things start happening. And they end up being in space and fighting aliens and a robot. And the sister finally comes down and realizes what's going on after she's put in stasis. Because that's one of the cards that gets dealt is she gets put in stasis for three rounds. So she finally de-thaws and realizes what's going on, and basically falls in love with what's his face, Dax Shepard, who turns out, spoiler, to be the old version of the Josh Hutcherson character, and that's kind of a funny scene when he reveals that he's actually the oldest kid, and she's like, oh, I can't believe I fell for my brother or whatever. So if you like Jumanji, I guess you'd like this too. It's basically the same concept. The house.
Dave, you forgot to mention the director.
The director? Who's the
Jon Favreau.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Is this like one of his first like major motion pictures that he directed?
I don't think so. Hold on.
I'm on the IMDb page, so I can just click on it and see.
No, he had directed stuff before that, I know for sure. But he...
Look at the director. I'm looking down on his... Yeah, he did...
He had directed Elf before
his
this.
First big one.
Yeah, Elf. Okay. So... Yeah, check it out. I think if you like a fun kids movie, a movie for the whole family, Zathura, A Space Adventure would be a good one. And that's my ing. All right, Gregor, what do you got?
I have an ing that is surprisingly something I haven't read yet.
But
because it's a comic this week.
But unsurprisingly, it's a comic.
Yes, I know, right? The comic is Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 7. And this one, I believe, is celebrating the 75th anniversary of Captain America. It's a big, I believe it's 67 pages. It's going to be, I'm recommending one of those comics. I know I talked earlier about how DC, they're doing the right thing with comics that are $2.99. This one, you're going to have to dip into the piggy bank there and pull out a couple more dollars because it's a $5.99 comic. But you have the primary story, which is written by Nick Spencer with the art done by Daniel Lacuna. And it's a tie-in to the book or this little mini event going on right now called Standoff. But then in the backstories, you have stories throughout Captain America's history by Greg Rucka and Mike Perkins, Tim Sale and John Cassidy. And I believe this also has the story by Joss Whedon, and the art is done by the guy who did the Astonishing X-Men with Joss Whedon, and I cannot think of his name right now. But yeah, and it's one of these cool issues that you're going to see that they've been doing, you know, periodically since, you know, they're reaching 75 years for a lot of these characters, that they're going to do, oh, here's, you know, extra backstories on these different characters or on this character, you know, in celebration. And it seems really cool. And this is definitely something I'm going to read. And also, there's not a lot out in comics this week. Like, I think I've altogether had 18 comics. There's like 4 from DC, 5 from Marvel, 4 Image Comics, and then IDW and Archie Comics, because Jughead number 5 came out as well. But
well, this time of year is not very good for comics, because it's right before Free Comic Book Day, and they usually, and DC and Marvel usually start their big event series around this time, mm-hmm. or in the spring.
Yeah, yeah, that is all true. But also to see the list, and it's like, I think, 7 total comics from DC. I'm like,
wow.
Wait, what? Yeah, oh, crap. This does not sound right.
Yeah. It's the calm before the storm.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the week where I finally get to play catch up, hopefully.
Now, are they going to be bringing back Steve Rogers?
Yes.
Okay.
So the interesting thing with that is they're going to be doing, as you notice with the title of the book, it's Sam or Captain America, Sam Wilson. They're going to be doing 2 Captain America books. One, both written by Nick Spencer. It's going to be Captain America, Steve Rogers, and then Captain America, Sam Wilson. And so it's just going to be like they're telling 2 different stories with the characters, you know, going on there, and they're going to come across together. But I think that's what this event is going to do, is it's going to bring back the super soldier serum that escaped geriatric Steve Rogers, which is what we've been having in the comic books, is what I think he'd be, what, like 94 or something like that.
Yeah, well,
if he fought in World War I.
Yeah,
and he's still going around kicking butt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I could suspend a lot of disbelief, but if he suddenly shows his age, shouldn't he be in a walker?
Well, he was frozen for the longest time too, so.
Yeah, but and with all that, it was showing, oh, the super soldier serum kept him alive throughout all that. And then it with the book, I believe it was written by Rick Remender at the time, where he gave up the super soldier serum and is what led to Sam Wilson earning the moniker. It was one of those things that he all of a sudden showed his age. You know, it's like, you don't have this young guy who doesn't get get a lot of references. You have this old guy who doesn't get a lot of the references that are being made.
It makes more sense when he's old than when he's young. All right. Is that it? Is that all you got?
Yeah, that is my ink. Oh, I can go on more and more, but that's for the Elsner show.
Okay. we'll do the plug at the end of the show. So, Ryan, what's your ing?
Yeah, I've been playing a couple, you know, some games lately, and I'm not, you know, I'm not a huge gamer, so, you know, I'm not taking on something like Fallout 4, but I kind of like these smaller, you know, kind of games made by independent developers that are more kind of story focused, I guess, and they're, you know, don't take a long time to play. It's like a few hours and it's done, basically. But there's one I played that came out recently called Firewatch, And
oh yeah,
it's you know, it's not sci-fi per se, but it has some kind of mystery elements to it. But it just really tells an interesting story with this character you play, Henry, and who is a, you know, was hired to be a fire watch in this this, you know, national park out in the wilderness. So there's very little contact with other people. Just one other fire watch that you talk to on the radio, and you describe things to you. It's one of these games where you have a choice of phrases or ways you can respond to things, and that's the main, you know, focus is kind of the relationships you develop and the weird things that happen and that kind of stuff. So it's a very, very cool game. So I enjoyed that quite a bit. And it got me excited that I'm looking forward to Abduction that is coming out this year, which is the spiritual successor to the Myst franchise. I was a big fan of all the Myst games, and it's the same, you know, original creators, Rand Miller and his team, and they're doing it's not related to Myst directly, but it's that same kind of, you know, puzzle-based, very beautiful environments and a lot of, you know, weird things that you have to figure out that I really enjoy it. And they have put a trailer out there for it now that you can watch, and it's definitely gives me that Myst vibe in a very good way.
You just got me thinking, haha, another ing. Wouldn't it be, I think the creators of Myst should make a VR game. Because that would be pretty cool.
Yes. Well, they are planning that for Abduction, I think. It did they say it? I get confused. I think there was some mention of that. Yeah. Like, maybe not right away, but there would be support for that. But yeah, that would be very cool. Because it's just, they create those environments that you just want to roam around for, you know, hours.
Got,
you know?
I had gotten Myst. I think it was Myst 3 on, like, the PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2. I don't think, if there was levels, I think I got maybe past the first one. But I remember I got stuck. I'm just sitting there looking around like, okay, this is beautiful, but what am I supposed to go? Where am I supposed to go? And all this stuff.
Yes, it's the opposite of spoon feeding. They tell you nothing, basically, and you just have to figure it out.
All right, there we go. Are we done? We all wrapped up there? We good? Everybody?
I think so. No,
you got to tell them how people they can get a hold of you.
Oh, hang on. Hang on one second here. But one thing at a time. Feedback. If you have feedback about what we talked about tonight or any of the episodes recently of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, feel free to reach out to us via email, geeks@gncasts.com. That's geeks@gncasts.com. You can call our voicemail number, and that is 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. If you're watching this on YouTube, watching us on YouTube, leave a comment on the video. You can leave a comment on the blog, on the website. You can reply us on Twitter or send us a private message or leave a comment on our Facebook page or group. We have many, many different ways to give us feedback on the stuff that we are talking about. If we suck, let us know. If you think we're great, that'd be even better to hear. Also, don't forget you can subscribe to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club via iTunes. And if you like what we do, if you think that we don't suck, please leave us 5 stars and write a couple sentence review. That gets us even more subscribers and more listeners, because, you know, that's how people find stuff that they think is to their liking. You know, good reviews means good show. So do that, please. You can subscribe to us many, many other ways. In fact, we have a whole page dedicated to that. You can hit the subscribe tab at our website, gncasts.com, or basically any place that you can get podcasts. Just search for the Sci-Fi Geeks Club and you'll find us. So, Ryan Gillen, thanks again for being our guest this week on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Where can people find you and your stuff?
Sure, yeah. You can go to thearnoldfans.com. Is Arnold's number one fan website that we run. He supports us very well, and you can always catch up on what he's up to there. And then my podcast is Arnold Radio News, so just search for Arnold Radio News on iTunes or wherever, and we're on Podbean. I think it's arn.podbean.com. But yeah, just search. We're also on Twitter, at Arnold Radio News on Twitter, and at The Arnold Fans. So,
all right.
There you go.
Thank you, Ryan. We'll have to have you back next year. We'll make this an annual thing.
Fantastic.
All right. Gregor, thanks for coming on the show this week. Of course, you got the Elf Nerd Show, soon to be on the Galactic Netcast Network. But working.
Yeah, I feel like with that, I'm just going to have to, like he's just going to, Dave and, or Corey and Beat and all them are just going to get an invite from Galactic Netcast, and it's going to be me just like, hey, guess what? We're doing it on Elf Nerd, or we're doing it on Galactic Netcast now.
Well, give me a little heads up, because I have to actually build the RSS feed and all that stuff. So, yeah. Just give me a week and a half warning, and I'll set that up.
Okay.
Well, in the meantime, where can people find the Elf Nerd Show?
Well, the Elf Nerd Show is at elfnerds.com. That will take you to our WordPress blog, and you can go to, or if you just want to go right to the YouTube, it's watch.elfnerds.com. We're Elf Nerds on Twitter. I'm personally at that Gregor. I'm close to 300. Like 48 people away from 300 followers.
So go there and follow Gregor.
Yes. And facebook.elsners.com, where we will post other things, and we'll probably end up, once we do fully assimilate into the Galactic Netcast, have those stuff forward over to Galactic Netcast stuff.
Sweet.
And yeah, I mean, watch our episodes. I forgot to give a warning, but the last episode with Corey coming back was so long, we broke it up into two parts. With the news segment going first and then the review segment coming after, which, yeah, forgot to mention that to you, Dave. Sorry.
It's okay. No, I found out the hard way.
Yeah. But no, we just had so much to talk about, including the news about the DC Rebirth event coming up. And then we got caught up on all the superhero TV shows like Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, all the DC shows over there. And yeah, so it's all over at elfnerds.com.
Yeah, if you want more in-depth comic book related stuff, I definitely recommend that you guys check out Elf Nerds, because you guys cover that stuff pretty well.
Yes, we try to anyways.
All right, Brad, what's new with you, man?
Still plugging away at the Adventure Party podcast and playing Fallout 4. So.
Okay, all right. And you can find out more about Adventure Party at our website. It's isn't it gncast.com/party? No.
No, it's / adventure.
I always get that wrong. Damn it. Okay. But
we got party saved for a special occasion.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm Dave Nelson on behalf of Brad, Gregor, Corey, Matt.
Bye, Dave.
Hang on, Matt.
Bye, Dave.
He always jumps the gun. Why does he do that?
I know. Jesus. Matt, calm down. Anessa, JF, and Ryan, we will talk to you guys all next time.
Bye.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's gncasts.com.